Amen. Laura, thank you. Great job. Psalm 150, verse 3, praise the Lord with trumpet sound, and you've done that well. God bless you. Thank you so much. To all of our instrumentalists, thank you for using your talents to the Lord. Great job. Great job. Well, if you have your Bible today, turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. That's page 1215 in your pew Bibles. If you'd like to use your pew Bible, you may certainly do that. Page 1215, 2 Peter is a very small, short book, and it's easy to pass it. Beginning a 10-message series for the month of August, morning and evening, entitled Standing for Truth in the Last Days. Standing for Truth in the Last Days. And today we'll look at the reasons we can stand for truth, why we can do that. And tonight, more in line with why we should do that and how we can do it. 3 and 4, the Apostle Peter's second epistle. Everybody found it? Good. Seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything, underline the word everything, pertaining to life and godliness, how? Through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these, the promises of God and the calling, has been granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Powerful words for us on how we can stand for truth in the last days. Join me in prayer. Father, I pray you'll speak to us today. Help us, Lord, to realize the obligation and the privilege we have of standing for your word in these times. God, thank you for your truth. And I pray for those in the modern service that are watching. You pray that you'll bless them as they follow along. And Lord, let it be a powerful message to us as we leave, more committed to standing for your word than when we came. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Imagine for a moment you're living in the last days, and it seems like Christ's return is near. That's not very hard to imagine, is it? Christians are persecuted and mocked around the world. False teaching and teachers are everywhere, peddling their new revelations and experiences, and the signs of Christ's return are increasing all around us. Violence, lawlessness, drought, famine, increasing earthquakes and natural disasters. Remembering what Jesus said about the signs of His return, you believe it won't be very long until He does. Now, you're probably thinking I'm just talking about right now, but I'm actually describing the first century where the Roman historian Tacitus wrote, quote, "This year witnessed many signs or omens, including repeated earthquakes," end quote. Josephus wrote, "An earthquake in Judea was of such magnitude, quote, the constitution of the universe was confounded for the destruction of men." He also wrote that earthquakes were common calamities. You know, in Acts 16:26, Luke wrote about a great earthquake that shook the foundations of the prison house. And then a great earthquake in Laodicea in 61 AD, and more in the cities of Smyrna and Miletus and Chios and Samos in the reign of Nero. So what should believers do when there's an increase of persecution against Christians, as well as an explosion of false teaching and violence and lawlessness and drought and famine and natural disasters like earthquakes? What should we do when we believe we're living in the last days? Well, believe it or not, that was the issue for the Apostle Peter's audience, for Christians in his day. They thought they were living in the last days, and they realized that they needed to take a stand for truth. Heeding the words of the Apostle Peter in his second epistle is very much like what we need to hear today. Listen to these headlines and see if you don't think it suggests the return of Jesus is near. Massive 8.2 earthquake hits near the coast of Alaska. Tsunami warnings issued. Mark Zuckerberg positioning Facebook to take over online worship services. Imam professor in New York, a public university, says Muslims will erase the filth called Israel. European Union Parliament targets Christian groups and pro-abortion crusade. Over 3,000 Christians killed in Nigeria just this year. Apocalyptic North American drought leading to many crop failures. And then finally, this came off the press yesterday. Listen to this. Frigid polar air brings very rare snowfall and icy rains to southern Brazil. Brazil? Snowing in Brazil? What does that mean? It means, Christian, the Lord's return is near, and we need to learn to stand for truth in times like these. You're probably thinking, well, how do I do that? How can I stand for truth? The same way the Apostle Peter's readers could do that. By remembering and acting on the three gifts that God has given to you and me. And so let me ask you, do you want to be more effective for God in the time that you have left? I know the answer is yes. Do you want to make a difference in these last days? I know the answer is yes. Here's how we do that. Here's what we remember. First of all, remember you've received a gift called the provisions of God. The provisions of God. In verse 3, once again, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. After Peter introduced himself as a bondservant and an apostle, having the same kind of faith his readers had, same kind of salvation and righteousness his readers had, after praying for God's grace and peace to be multiplied to his readers in the knowledge of God, he began by telling his readers that God's divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. Everything. Now, this is a powerful verse to understand, as our world is filled with those who say, if you have Jesus, that's great, but you need something more. Another experience, another blessing, another dose of the Spirit of God. And Peter said, no, that's not true. You do need to grow in your faith. We all need to grow in our faith. But when we were saved, God gave us everything we need pertaining to life and godliness. Now, when a baby is born, that baby doesn't need more arms and more legs and more toes and more ears and more noses and more eyes, do they? They simply need to grow with what God had given to them. And that's the same way it is for us. We simply need to grow in what we've been given. And Christian, we've been given all we need, listen, to change the world for Christ. God's power has given us everything pertaining to life and godliness and everything we need to do to change the world and do His will. Step number one in standing for truth in the last days is realizing God has given us everything we need pertaining to life and godliness. We don't give us everything we need. God does. And He does this by His power. He does this by His working in our lives. God's power gives us everything we need to stand for truth in the last days. As persecution against Christians is increasing, false teachings are exploding. There's an increase in our world in violence and lawlessness and drought, famine and earthquakes and natural disasters. It's almost as if when we're saved by the knowledge of Him who called us, God gives us a backpack. And in that backpack is everything we need for life and godliness. Everything we need to change the world. I love the word granted to us. It's a tense that shows past action with present, continuing, abiding results. When we were saved, God's power gave us everything we need for life and godliness. And the results of His giving us that follows on for the rest of our lives. Now, if you've ever set out to hike the Appalachian Trail, and I know we have at least two here with us this morning who've done that. Brother Will has done most of that, and Dr. Patrick has done that as well. He's hiked on the Appalachian Trail. You know, when you leave, you have to have a backpack of hiking supplies. At least I would imagine you do as one who's read about it. And make sure in that backpack are all the sustaining life supplies you need for the journey. You'll probably want a map or a GPS now. I think maps are kind of outdated. I wouldn't want to be in the cartography business today. But something where you can navigate your way. A headlamp with extra batteries, sun protection, first aid kit, insect repellent, a knife, matches, a stove, extra water, a tarp and rope for cover, and certainly some kind of food supply. Here's the deal. You know if you hike that after you've been gone a while, your supplies dwindle. You consume the things in the backpack. You use up the food and the water. The batteries grow weak. The insect repellent is used. Sun protection. And bottom line, unless you replenish the supplies in your backpack, if you set out on the Appalachian Trail, you're going to die on the way. You have to have supplies. Well, that's not the way it is with what God gives us. Everything He gives us for life and godliness is being constantly resupplied. God's power gives us all we need to start the journey, and He keeps on giving us everything we need for the rest of our lives till our journey ends. And that is why Paul could write to the Ephesians in chapter 3, verse 20, as to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all we ask or think, according to the power of God that works in us. God's power gives us all we need for life and godliness. And he's given us all we need to change the world right now. One commentator put it like this: God has put you inside the treasure room, and everything in the treasure room belongs to you. Whose fault is it if you leave the treasure room with only a penny? I mean, God's given us everything we need. I believe that any believer can change the world and take a stand for Jesus and make a difference. Everyone in this building today can do that. A 37-year-old lady, Pakistani lady named Asia Bibi, one of the very few Christians in the Muslim village of Itnawali, Pakistan. She worked for a Muslim landowner. His name is Muhammad Idris. She picks fruit from trees. She picks berries. She's a worker. One day, as she was working with her fellow Muslim workers, a Muslim lady asked her, "Why are you a follower of Christ? Why don't you follow Muhammad?" And Asia replied, "Because Jesus died on the cross for my sins and Muhammad did not." She said, "Why are you following him?" She said, "Jesus is alive, Muhammad is dead." And then she said this: "Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the true prophet of God, not Muhammad." She was right, but she said it, and it wasn't received very well. The ladies she worked with were so mad when they saw her drink water out of the Muslim well. They call them Muslim wells, not a Christian well. They believe that contaminates the well if a Christian drinks from a Muslim well. They told her their boss. They sent some men. They beat this poor lady. She was imprisoned under Pakistani's blasphemy laws for 17 months. Then she was sentenced to death. In 2019, she managed to get representation. She was released and kicked out of the country. She went to Canada with her daughters. Her story throws a light on persecution in Pakistan and the rest of the Muslim world that we don't know a lot about here in the U.S. But the fact is, folks, this kind of thing is coming to America. This lady was not a seminary graduate, Asia Bibi. She was not an ordained pastor, not a TV personality. She was just a worker in the field, willing to take a stand for Jesus as the one who died for her sins, willing to take a stand against anyone else being the Messiah. And that included Muhammad in a Muslim world. God's power gave her all she needed for life and godliness. And God's power has put everything in the backpack we need to change the world for Christ too. It's all in the backpack. And we can never run out of anything in our spiritual backpack as long as we're willing to be yielded to the Spirit of God. But that doesn't mean it's going to be easy. There's a lot of parallels between life in ancient Rome and the United States. Cullen Murphy wrote a book, Are We Rome?, where he asked these questions. He showed these parallels. Ancient Rome, like the U.S., had the most powerful military in the world. The Roman Empire and America are comparable in physical size. Both had or have a global influence. Both nations have lots of newcomers, immigrants. Both viewed their nation as exceptional, at least we should. Both were technologically advanced. Both were wealthy nations, and yet both declined into gross immorality and perversion. Both experienced the breakdown of the family. Both experienced the loss of faith, and both started persecuting believers who took a stand for righteousness. Peter would tell believers of his day, those of Nero's time, God's power, Christian, in a world like this has given you all you need for life and godliness. We have all we need to impact our culture for the world. Everything for the journey is in the backpack. Yes, we ought to grow in our faith and grow in our knowledge, but it's not like there's a tool we need God hasn't given us. The Bible says in Philippians 1:19, Paul called God's power the supply of the Spirit. We have all we need for God's power to be released in incomparable ways in our lives. I think there's three assumptions that we can now enter into the evidence as fact. Fact number one, we're living in the last days. I think we can enter that into the record as fact. 2 Peter 3:3, Paul wrote, in the last days, mockers will come after their own lusts. And the fact that they were doing that in Peter's day, 66-67 AD, when this book was written, shows he believed they were in the last days. And certainly 1,900 plus years later, we are as well. Fact number two, God wants us to stand for truth in the last days. Peter told his readers in 3:18, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's not just so we can know more, but so we can tell more and be used to change more lives and the world. And fact number three, from 2 Peter 1:3, we need to remember that God has given us all we need to be godly believers. We don't need to wait for something else later to serve the Lord. We need to use what we've been given right now to make a difference where we are right now, right now, right now. God didn't fill the backpack just so it'd be full. He filled it so we would use what we have on the journey that He's called us to walk. He's given us a full backpack so we can stand for truth in the last days. So not just the provisions, but second, we have the promises of God. The provision of God, the promises of God. Verse 4, first phrase, for by these He's granted to us His precious and magnificent what? Promises. God has given us all things for life and godliness by two ways. Number one, by the one who called us by His glory and excellence. And two, by the precious and magnificent promises of God. Bottom line is, this came to us by the work of the Spirit in our hearts and the work of the Scripture in our minds. Salvation requires the work of the Holy Spirit. It also requires an understanding of God's Word, His precious and magnificent promises. God's power has given us everything we need, but it's also true we need to know God's promises so we can grow. We need to know so we can grow. That sounds like a good plug for a Bible study right there, isn't it? Know so you can grow. There's a website that lists over 3,000 promises in the Bible to believers. Over 3,000. Here's five from the Old Testament. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Genesis 18:14. If you seek the Lord your God, you'll find Him. Deuteronomy 4:29. Those who honor me, I will honor. 1 Samuel 2:30. The virgin will be with child, give birth to a son. Isaiah 7:14. I, the Lord, do not change. Malachi 3:6. And those are just five promises out of over 3,000. Now, as a disciple, Mathetes, as a learner, God expects us to be learning, and that never stops. It only increases. Matter of fact, you know, the more you learn, the more you realize you need to learn. When I got to seminary in 1982, I thought I knew a lot about the Bible. I graduated with a Master of Divinity in 1985, and I realized when I graduated how very little I knew. In fact, I felt dumber after seminary than when I started seminary. It's like I learned, the more I learned, the more I realized I didn't know. Now, I'm not an astronomer, but I would imagine that's the way it is when you study the galaxies, the universe. The more you learn about how big the universe is, the more you realize you can't possibly fathom how big the universe is. The greater my comprehension of the size of the universe, the greater my ignorance about the size of the universe. The more I study God's Word, the more I realize how little I know about God's Word and need to keep studying. And friend, that same with all the doctrines of the Scripture. We need to learn more, but some things we're not going to fully understand on this side of glory. The Trinity, the hypostatic union of Christ, His divine and human nature, or certainly the doctrine of election. There are things we cannot understand on this side of eternity. And so we preach the whosoever wills boldly, and there are many. And we preach elect from the foundation of the world. And that teaching is there in Scripture in many places. As with the Trinity, I say, believe what the Bible teaches. And listen to this. It's okay not to understand the things you don't understand as well as you realize you should. Because some things we're not going to understand until we get to glory. I know that's saying a lot, but that's what it means. Whosoever will may come. And whosoever will, the elect of God. Believe both. Keep going. Don't fret what you don't understand because we see through this glass dimly. You know, you just don't see it. Let God do what only God can do and realize that He's commissioned us to do what we need to do. And that's where we need to come down on. Do your best to learn everything in the Bible. And the reason we ought to do that is because we are living in the last days. If Peter thought he was in the last days, then certainly we are in the last days. We can do great things for God because we've received the provision of God. He's given us all that we need. We have the promises of God. We know what God teaches. We know what He said. We need to know it. We need to learn. We need to grow. And number three, that brings us to the partnership with God. Look at the last phrase of verse 4. In order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. The commentator Matthew Henry wrote, those who receive the promise of the gospel partake of the divine nature. Meaning, when you believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit of God lives in you, and you pass from death into life, and you become a child of God, and you have His nature. Being one who has the nature of God means that you have a new appetite. It means you love the truth of God, and you don't want to live in a way that brings shame and dishonor to the Lord. We have to have the nature that brings the new appetite. Orrin Wiersbe said, the eagle flies because it has an eagle's nature. Dolphin swims because it has a dolphin's nature. Squirrel climbs trees, squirrel nature. We ought to have the nature of God, and therefore we ought to act like God would want us to act. 1 Peter 4:4, we're told that unbelievers will be surprised that we don't join them in their same reckless, wild living. Come to this party. No, I'm a believer. I don't drink. I'm sorry. I'm not going to do that. Come do this with us. No, I've got a conviction about that. Do this, do that. No, I don't do that. You know, be very careful about how you live. Unbelievers ought to see we are different and our lives have been changed. Now, that might not happen immediately. This work of sanctification doesn't happen overnight. Happens in a lifetime. But it should definitely be happening as time passes. John Newton, author of Amazing Grace, told his friend William Cowper, who wrote There Is a Fountain, I'm not what I ought to be, and I'm not what I want to be. I'm not what I will be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. There's a difference, a difference. It's the old song, you know, today I went back to the place I used to go. Today I saw the crowd I knew before. When they asked me what had happened, I just tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't live here anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man that I used to be. Things are so much different than before. As a tear ran down my face, I said, a change has taken place. Thanks to Calvary, I don't live here anymore. And Christian, if we want to be used greatly in these last days, we need a lifestyle that reflects we are partakers of the divine nature. We need to live as those who are truly indwelt by the Spirit of God. Someone who has escaped and is in the process of escaping the corruption of the world and its lust. We need to be different. We need to look different. People want to see a difference. In fact, it's rightly said our lives preach more loudly than our words. More loudly. Or someone else said, and I've shared this before, your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks more loudly than your talk talks. They look at your walk and they listen by your walk more than they do the talk. Not that we don't have the talk, but we need walk and talk. That's important. Do what is right. Even if we know we won't get caught for doing what is wrong. Let me say that again. Do what is right. Even if you know you won't get caught for doing what is right, what is wrong, do the right thing. If you've been keeping up with the news, you know that San Francisco has become a shoplifter's paradise. Proposition 47 says if you shoplift under $950, it's only a misdemeanor crime. And if you're caught, you probably won't be, you'll be given a citation. And if you don't show up to court, nothing most likely will happen. Well, guess what that means if you are inclined to shoplift. A man gets on a bicycle, you saw it on the news maybe, rides his bicycle into a Walgreens with a trash bag, loads up his trash bag with all kinds of things on the shelf, I don't know what was in the trash bag, and he rides right by the security guard on his bicycle through the aisle at the front door, and nothing happened. And guess what happens when his buddies see that he goes into the Walgreens and gets everything he wants. Well, here they come. And so now the shelves are empty and now the Walgreens stores are closing. Someone was telling me this morning, I think 14 in this one location in San Francisco, Walgreens have closed and they're closing fast. What does this mean? What does this mean? We just watch it and we laugh? No. Friend, we need to remember that we are living in the last days. we are living in lawless times. In the last days, perilous times shall come. And we need to remember that we are indwelt by the Spirit of God. We are sharers in the divine nature. We have God in us, and we should always do what is right, even if we can get away with what is wrong. We need to stand up for truth in days of lawlessness and violence, as it was in the days of Noah, so it shall be at the coming of the Son of Man. Do what is right for the glory of God. Take a stand for truth in these last days. Violent times, terrible times, but times of great opportunity for believers to impact your world, to stand for truth. Like Asia Bibby, this dear lady, 37 years old, when she was asked, "Why are you a follower of Jesus?" She basically said, "Because he's the Son of God. He's the only one who's alive. He died for my sins, rose from the grave, and he's the only way to God. And nobody else is, including Muhammad." Woo, she said it. We need to stand for truth in the last days. And friend, remember these three gifts that God has given to us here, they will make you and me more effective for him. And so it all comes down to this question, two questions. Number one, do you want to be more effective for God? Do you want to take a stand for him? Because there are going to be opportunities this very week you're going to have to stand for truth and righteousness. This very week you'll have an opportunity to do that. And so the question is, will you plant the flag and do what this young lady did, Asia Bibi in Pakistan? I believe Jesus rose from the grave. He died for my sins. I believe he's the Lord, and that's why I follow him. Boom, there it is. They're not going to stand and applaud. They're not going to be thrilled and happy. But we have to do that in these last days if we want to make an impact. We have to stand for what is right, even if no one else does. Let's pray. Father, I pray this very week you'll give us an opportunity to plant that flag, to let our colors be clear on whose side we are, and not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but to share it with love and compassion, knowing that unbelievers think it's strange we don't run into the same lifestyle they do. And Lord, I pray you'll help us to make an effort to show your love to them and the hope of the gospel, the blessed hope. Thank you, Lord, for that privilege we have of being your ambassador in this world. Father, if there's one this morning that has a commitment that needs to be made, maybe to rededicate their life to you as a believer, to place saving faith in Christ for the first time, and they would like to speak to a counselor about that, as we begin the invitation, I pray they would come. Thank you for those, Lord, who are able to talk to them in a quiet place and answer their questions. Father, I also pray for those that might be mulling over church membership and what that means in their life, in their service. Lord, if Scott Lake is where you want him, I pray for clarity and wisdom and courage to do whatever it is you're calling them to do. Thank you, God, for the privilege of standing for truth in these last days. And I pray you'll bless this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. In just a second, we're going to stand and sing hymn 318, "The Nail-Scarred Hand." But you know, for all of us here today, it's kind of like this. Out there on the horizon, somewhere in our future, somewhere in my future, somewhere in this world's future, there's two events. Event number one is the return of Christ. It's going to happen. Somewhere in time, it's coming. It is coming. This world is on the tracks, and that's on the horizon. The sound of the trumpet's coming. It's coming. Second event is our heart will stop. So you have death and the return of Jesus or somewhere in the horizon. We don't know where those events are, do we? We don't know where they are. Since we don't know where they are, should we not be as committed to Jesus as we can be in the time that we have? Absolutely. Stand for truth. Stand for truth. Let's do it. Let's stand together, 318. If you need to come, you come on right now. Thank you. to speak with me after the service, I hope you'll know I'll be available to talk to you. And call me if you need to speak during the week. We'll talk about any question you might have, a spiritual need, question, inquiry. We're here for you. And again, I want to thank you for being here this morning and hope you can come back tonight as we continue these 10 messages, 10 expository messages on living for truth and standing for truth in the last days. Hope to see you back at 6:30 tonight. A couple special welcomes and recognitions I want to make. Brother Phil, it's good to see you back today. And Nanette, good to have you guys back. Thrilled to have you, both of you, Phil and Nanette. Amen. Also, Kramer, good to see you, my friend. What was your wife's name? Jenna. And your little baby girl? Emery. Honored to have you. They're members of Calvary Hills Baptist Church in San Antonio, Texas. And when I was there, I met Kramer. And I said, hey, if you're ever in Lakeland, he said, well, I'm going to be in Lakeland. I said, well, stop by. And you did. And we're glad you're here. God bless you. Amen. All right. Keep that preacher straight out there. Make sure he doesn't preach any heresy. All right. All right. Good to have you guys today. Good to have you here tonight. Brother Robert, if you don't mind, thank the Lord for the privilege that we have of being here. And pray for the offering as you're leaving. If you have any questions about anything, I hang around just for you. All right, Brother Robert.
Pray with me. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this message. We ask you to keep us strong. Help us to stand strong and firm for you. We thank you for the opportunity now to come and to give back a portion of what you've given to us. We ask you to bless the gifts and bless the givers. Be with us. Bring us back tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.